appreciate you being here and sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, item number four.
Item number four, a resolution by Supervisor Stamper, Lipscomb, Dmitrievich, Bowen, Alexander, Harris, Mayo, Johnson, and Romo West, relating to a new policy with respect to actions by the medical examiner in cases involving death of a person in law enforcement custody.
And Madam Clerk, I know that you sent a notice to Dr. Peterson. Could you read that for the record, please?
Good day, Dr. Peterson. Chairman Borkowski would like to extend an invitation for you to appear before the Committee on Judiciary Safety and General Services on Thursday, October 18th, 2012, beginning at 9 a.m. in room 201B of the Milwaukee County Courthouse to provide comments on item number four. I am attaching the agenda and that specific file for your preview.
Thank you. Supervisor Stamper, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning to you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning to my fellow supervisors. It's good to be here this morning to discuss this so important resolution. What you have before you today is a resolution to the response of the huge mistake made by a staff member in the medical examiner's office. We're all familiar with the case of Derek Williams and all the community uproar and all the community concern and all supervisors' concern. So the situation brought this policy to my mind after we met with the medical examiner. He indicated some things he was going to put in place, and us as supervisors, after meeting with the medical examiner, thought we need to make it policy as policymakers. The resolution that you have before you that we want to put in place is to ensure that in the case of death in law enforcement custody, our medical examiner's office does its due diligence, performs all necessary reviews, and come to the correct cause of death. And this policy will prevent any more incorrect diagnosis because we will have our most qualified pathologist or have our most qualified expert, who is a medical examiner, make the decision. In fairness, I did meet with the medical examiner this morning. He presented his case, and I didn't know that memo went out, and I offered him to come present his case to my fellow supervisors. I understand his point. I think you should listen to it, but I think it's us as policymakers to do what we can to set policy to prevent this from happening again. So before we continue, I welcome my colleague, Supervisor Bowen, and then we can hear from the medical examiner.
Supervisor Bowen, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the Committee of Judiciary. I just want to capitalize on some of the points that my colleague, Russell Stamper, made. The policy changes that you see in this resolution are things that we agreed on with the medical examiner, issues that contributed to the situation where it is not standard practice for our chief medical examiner, to sign off on or check every autopsy or documentation that his assistant medical examiners happen to complete. But we want to make sure that in cases where it is a police-involved death, that it is mandatory and standard for our chief medical examiner to do that. So again, these are things that we had a chance to, in a meeting, agree on that they needed to change, and we just want to make sure that it's on the books and that the community sees that we're not looking at things that have happened in our community. We know the issues that contributed to it, and we're not addressing it. And I understand that the medical examiner has even made some changes in policy already, but it's time for us as policymakers to capitalize on that to just make sure it doesn't happen again. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, let me first acknowledge the fact both of you are first-termers, and I want to just acknowledge your leadership in this, so thank you very much. And if I could also be added as a sponsor, if there's and Supervisor Broderick, I guess I'm getting that heads up.
Yep.
But thank you for that. Before we go into questions, I want to acknowledge Dr. Peterson. Mm-hmm. I know that Dr. Peterson is in our midst, and if he'd like to address the committee, this is your opportunity.
My choice of two, huh? Good morning. I'm Dr. Brian Peterson, the medical examiner, and Karen Domagowski is my operations manager.
Hi, Karen.
Very brief comment, if I might. I met with a number of supervisors over 2 weeks ago over this issue, and at that time gave them an updated office policy actually addressing this specific problem regarding in-office review of high-profile cases. Actually, necessarily, the new policy actually goes a bit farther and talks about high-profile cases in general. Mm-hmm. Certainly, death in police custody is a type of high-profile case, but I think we can all agree that there are other deaths that are also high profile. Take, for example, a death in mental health. Mm-hmm. So our policy within the office is broader than that. So, and I also can tell you that there's been a policy change within Milwaukee Police Department such that in deaths that occur in their custody, reports, et cetera, will automatically be provided to us. That hadn't happened before. They've always provided when we've asked. It simply wasn't automatic. So, in a way, the thrust of this proposed legislation has already been addressed. My second point, also brief, I just attended the National Association of Medical Examiners annual meeting last week. It was in Baltimore. And they are very concerned as a group with medical examiner independence. Hmm. My fear, and they're the group that credentials us. They inspect us every 5 years. We have their accreditation. That accreditation is necessary for us to attract and retain good trainees to market our services and so forth. So it's, it's a standard thing. Again, their concern is with medical examiners' independence. My concern is that because we have already addressed this specific issue internally and will continue to address similar issues internally as we normally would, I fear that if they look at legislation imposed from the outside, they will deem that interference with our mission by an outside agency. Now, they're not just concerned with political action. Obviously, they're concerned with perhaps what the police might do, what the DA might do, what families might do in some cases, and all towards the goal that we have to make our decisions independent of those kind of influences. As I mentioned, they inspect us every 5 years. These types of issues are part of what they inspect us for. So, in a nutshell, two concerns. A, we've already addressed the issue. B, if there is legislation that directs us to perform a certain internal process, then the National Association of Medical Examiners may well deem that interference in our mission and pull our accreditation, which would be relatively disastrous.
Well, okay. Did you have anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. I know that we have at least one question. Supervisor Harris, did you have anything on this issue?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I am actually a co-sponsor of this legislation, and I guess I am a little baffled that your accreditation would be pulled based on us making sure that accountability in Milwaukee County is being met based on having a policy that will make sure that we do complete a thorough examination of any high-profile murder or death in this community. So I guess I'm a little taken aback by that statement. However, I will still move approval on this resolution, and I'm curious to see how this process plays itself out because I do think that Milwaukee County needs to have a policy around it because it shows that as policymakers, we are making sure that accountability is held in our community so that we don't continue to have reoccurring situations of this nature. So thank you.
And I don't know if either of you would like to respond.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, yes. as we met with Supervisor Stemper this morning, I think what we came to the conclusion of is that we have the same goal. Our goal is that this doesn't happen again. Obviously, we don't have a lot of control about what happens in the community, but in terms of what happens in our office, sure, there is control there. So our goal is the same. In terms of what the National Association of Medical Examiners may do, I think their view is simply to look at where does that control come from. If it happens from within my office, that's what they expect me to do. That's my job. If it comes from outside the office, that will be the concern. And as I pointed out this morning at our earlier meeting, once the precedent has been set, and I can certainly understand supervisors needing to be responsive to constituents, et cetera. You know, I get it. I'm not an elected official, obviously, but I get it. I understand that part, but the response has already been made. The corrective changes have been made within my office. In fact, they were made a couple weeks ago. I think that's pretty fast. You know, that's the way we're supposed to act. The political process takes longer, all right? But since the change has already been made within the office, I think, according to NAME, the National Association, that's an effective response. If it's imposed on us from outside the office, that's the concern they're going to have.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt, then Supervisor Broderick, and then Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for coming to, you needed to come to explain this, obviously, too. We have such a high-profile case, but there are other cases, and, I mean, you said it yourself, your office has made some changes. And I guess that's the whole point of why something has to be done. So this is a policy change, or you had to look into it. And if you look at the final be it resolved clause, which is always kind of the important one, I guess I could read a little bit here. It's authorized and directing. Maybe that's the word you maybe have some problem with. But you're asked really to study the medical examiner's process investigating death and law enforcement custody. I mean, it needs to be done. I mean, obviously, the thing was changed. You said you made changes. So we have to have some confidence that this is what's going to be formalized going on. And I got corporation counsels involved here, too, okay? So medical examiner and corporation counsel, will be part of this process. And then and see what policy changes should be made. Are all the 5 points listed in this resolution cogent? Is it necessary that these be part of your changes? So I don't, because of the high profileness, because of the need in the community, coming out in this, I really think we need to do something here in cooperation with your office. And all this really does here is ask you and Corporation Counsel, with your problem of independence, and looks at the general language on your responsibility so they would not conflict with Wisconsin state statutes. So anything you'd be doing would not conflict the things you're talking about. So I think we'd be less than responsible not to go ahead with this. This certainly needs to be done. If you're doing these things, I think they need to be codified. So we're sure going forward that this is in place now all the time. And so I don't think you should fear it, certainly. And you said you've made the changes already, but we need to make sure these changes are formalized. And indeed, if everything being done is not in any way against in conflict with Wisconsin state statutes, but Corporation Counsel will be involved in this whole process. And it'll be a process because we're not asking us to come back till January, correct? And so we have some time to look at it and get the responses. And, emotions are very high, as necessarily so. That's obviously what's happened here. And we need to step back, but to kind of make sure that we're all in contact and have confidence in what you're doing. And that's no slight on anything. It's just, the community needs confidence, and that needs to be done, and see if we need to do any changes. So I just think, we should all have confidence that this is the right way to go. And you have a chance to respond to these, along with Corporation Counsel, to make sure we're doing everything right. So I think it's a win for everybody to go ahead to do this, obviously. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
I don't know if I want to respond. There probably wasn't anything there, but I want to give you the chance, so.
I appreciate that. Again, I think we all have the same goal here. Right? And given that we are responsible to outside agencies in the sense that we're inspected and accredited, I have to be cognizant of that as well. Because we've already really achieved the goal by changing the internal policy, I think in a way one might say mission accomplished. I'm a little bit fearful of that phrase. But the policy has been changed internally. This particular error won't happen again because of that internal policy change. And I guess at a certain level, as a board, either you're confident that we've crafted a good policy that I hope you all have, and that I'll enforce that, or you're not, you know. But again, since we have the same goal, and since in many ways the resolution is based on the policy that I already created, the issue from the outside agency, from NAEM, is going to be, where did that come from? And if it comes from within the office, they're going to be comfortable with that. They'll probably approve of that, why that might even become a thing that they like to use throughout the country. If it comes from outside the office, that's where the concern will be. And once it's been codified outside the office, then we lose a degree of flexibility and a degree of perhaps haste in responding to the next issue that comes up. And again, I believe they'll simply view this as an intrusion on our medical practice, and that's the concern.
Supervisor Schmidt?
Okay, I mean, you stated that before, but again, you said this, you've done this internally. Well, great, okay, that's good. But then it needs to be, this is a community question. This is larger than just internally to your office. You have confidence you've taken the proper steps that this won't happen again. But when you have these kinds of, publicity, and you know, the community has to feel that, besides internally, everyone is on the same page. And, I don't think we're going to impose upon you to do something that isn't realistic or doesn't make sense. You said, well, it did make sense. You made internal changes, some of the recommendations there. So we just need to, have a public discussion about that. It's necessary to do. And if it comes in conflict, like we said, well, that's why Corporation Council, that's why we're doing this study. So, again, if we're all working to the same thing, then I think maybe your fears can be assuaged by this whole report that comes back in January. And, I mean, I'm presuming you're not against having this resolution going forward, because it's going to check and reaffirm your internal changes, so externally you know what's going on. That's what needs to be done, too. So that's my last point. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Peterson, good to see you.
Good morning.
At the time the events that led to this matter, as contained in the resolution, occurred, was your office then in conformance with the accrediting organization standards? Or another way to view it is, during their reviews, did they ever flag this as a deficiency? And if so, why not?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, the accreditation standard specifies that we have an internal review process, and that we do. We always have. The standard does not specify which cases will be put into that process, and that was the missing link in the chain. So had the NAEM standard read that, for example, all cases of death in police custody be reviewed, then we would not have been in conformity. But that wasn't the standard. The standard was simply that there be a review meeting, which we've had. The new policy that I wrote for our office is that all high-profile cases, including deaths in police custody, will be subject to review automatically, with it not being a matter of choice by whomever performs the autopsy.
Does this anomaly, if it's that, in the system, seem to suggest that the accrediting agency perhaps might serve themselves well by tightening up their own standards and requiring this?
As I said, I think the fact that we have this new policy, and it's in response to a relatively high-profile case, might be something that they, as a national, if not international agency, take a look at and decide to make that part of their inspection procedure.
Well, we're trying to act as an impetus for them to look at it by passing this, if we do. Mr. Chairman, I'd also point to lines 49 and 51 as perhaps needing just a minor modification. In the final autopsy, a final autopsy will not be issued. I think that should read a final autopsy report. Would that be in conformance with? And also line 51, the issuance of the final report of the cause of death, I think should be added after the word final. It may be nitpicking, but I think it clarifies the intent.
You don't have a problem with that. That's pretty much cosmetic, or do we need to do something?
I would vote on
the amendment. Okay, so Supervisor Broderick, I'm going to ask you to
sure.
put in an amendment form and
Sure. Well, essentially, I've done that.
Yes.
I would suggest line 49 after the word autopsy, adding the word report.
Mm-hmm.
Line 51 after the issuance of the final, after the word final, add the words report of the.
Okay. Very good. And I'm going to, before we take a vote on that, I want to make sure that the clerk and our analysts have that. Supervisor Broderick, were you finished then?
Yes, and I move approval of the amendment.
Okay, and we have Supervisor Johnson and then Supervisor Weishaupt. Oh, I'm sorry. Supervisor Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Peterson, the resolution you've indicated through your new peer review process that the resolution is not as broad as what's going to happen in your office, but you also have, as far as procedures are concerned, but you have this concern about the accreditation process and the body looking at codification through resolutions, legislation as being something that it does not necessarily want to happen.
Exactly so.
Okay. My question is, do you know of any examples, since you've implied that accreditation could be pulled from your office, do you know of any examples how that has come about?
Supervisor, it's mostly worked in the opposite direction. And what it's been is that offices or medical examiners that have felt particularly pressured by whomever, a police agency, an attorney, et cetera, have come to name this body and ask for support. So it hasn't yet, as far as I know, reached the point where accreditation has been pulled mm-hmm. based on undue influence. What it's been is name coming to bat for an office or for a medical examiner helping with that case of undue influence.
Because, in this situation, internally, you have changed your processes, your review process. You will have now a peer review process.
We've always had the peer review process. What we've changed is that the bringing of certain cases to that process is now mandatory as opposed to voluntary.
The high-profile cases, including...
Yes, sir. Including, yes.
Okay. Given that you, as I asked for the examples, and it's not as if you have told me about concrete examples, states, jurisdictions themselves don't necessarily have to be identified, but you've done something, we've codified, or we are attempting to codify something that you've done, and it's not as if we have put pressure on you to change your policy, in order to satisfy our needs and potentially the community's needs, so I don't see where there's a problem. I personally don't see that. Because you've done what you needed to do. We have not put a hammer on to you or a hammer on you to make such changes. It's something that, given what's happened, I think that you've logically done. So I would hope that, as it relates to the accreditation body, agency, association, that it looks at you having done what you needed to do because of this whole high-profile case. This is what we have to do, and this is what's in front of you and us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I don't know if you wanted to respond at all anymore.
I think I have. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering, other than the concern of his name, agency, do you have any other concerns that the requirements here in these 5 points would somehow impede you from getting an autopsy out timely, would somehow make it more difficult? This seems, I guess, has there ever been a question where perhaps people have disagreed on the cause of death? And reading this then sounds like unless everybody agrees, you can't issue a final autopsy report. So, you know, could we get to a position where, okay, no report can be issued because there isn't 100%, you know, there isn't concurrence on the cause of death, and now all of a sudden we can't issue an autopsy report. Is this going to somehow impede your job?
I think that's an excellent point. Sure it will. And it'll impede for, that's certainly one reason. The delay is one. And, of course, in my line of work, in a way, timeliness is next to godliness because These processes all take time, and during that time, there's next of kin who are concerned about completion of the death certificate, the report, et cetera, and we owe them that duty. As written, in phrases here that specifically mention my role as medical examiner, all witnesses who signed on to the original review and so forth, this does become somewhat cumbersome. And these changes were referred to earlier as nits. I truly did not spend a lot of time nitpicking here because, again, my concern was more with the overall thought of having legislation at all, much less the content of this individual proposed legislation. But absolutely, this will cause slowdown in the process. I can't predict how long that will take, but slowing the process, certainly it will.
I guess I'm not familiar. I'm not a medical examiner. And I don't have a medical background, so I'm not familiar with everything that goes in, but into the process that has to be done. And I can understand why why people want to see some changes made and make sure that the mistakes of the past haven't happened. Have we ever had a situation like this before from the medical examiners? Is it the first time?
As I mentioned to Supervisor Stanford this morning, we've encountered a number of truly high-profile cases recently. I might mention the Sikh temple shooting, for example, that my office handled within 24 hours very efficiently and very effectively with no criticism. This issue here involves an individual case. Since I've been with Milwaukee County, I've not encountered this particular problem with a case, so this would really be the first of.
Okay. I think my concern with this whole issue is that we're somehow, you know, by trying to correct the problem, we're going to cause some other problems to pop up. And I don't, again, with my lack of medical knowledge, feel comfortable that I should be telling the medical examiner how exactly to do his job. Now, I believe that we have some oversight to make sure that if there are mistakes made, that they're corrected. My opinion here is that a proper course of action would be to have the corrective action plan presented to the board, but for us to dictate for him how to do his job, I have some concerns with that because this is a very highly technical and highly trained field. I understand the reasoning for wanting to do something, but I don't want to see unintended consequences. I'm a little concerned with the peer review, with all of the points that have to be made here. And timeliness is an issue, and I just had a situation with a constituent who had a problem with the timeliness of getting an autopsy report because of some other reasons. And I've had that in the past, and so I understand the importance of wanting to get it done. I guess I would move, you know, that we lay this item over and give time to give a little more thought and get some more response. I guess I'd like to have some more answers, number one, on this name organization. I've never heard of this National Association of Medical Examiners. Or, you know, if you can provide us with some documentation or maybe even some input from them as to why they feel, you know, the independence of a medical examiner's office is critical to you being able to properly do your job. And also, I'd like to hear a little more feedback as to how this is either going to impede or not impede your capacity to get your work done on time and in a timely manner. Again, the way I read this is you have to have concurrence in order for an autopsy report to be done. And, you know, if there's no concurrence, how does that affect the, you know, you're going to hold up and just never issue the report then?
So, Supervisor, you're making a motion to lay over.
In a windy way, yes.
Yeah, it breezed through the follicles, yes, of my hair. I recognize that layover takes precedence. I'm looking to our corporation counsel because a couple of things happened prior to that. I know that Supervisor Harris originally made the motion for approval. Then we had Supervisor Broderick adding some pieces on via an amendment and then saying that he was motioning for approval. So we take the vote for layover first. Is that... That happens regardless. Okay. Yeah, okay. Because I know that we had like three things going on here, and I want to make sure that We're all copacetic. So are we waiting for her? Is that it?
I think you can go ahead and declare the motion.
Okay. Then, Madam Clerk, if there's Supervisor Broderick.
Just one comment on the layover motion. If concurrence is the goal here, how is concurrence arrived at with factual omissions? And I guess that's a question I'd put to the doctor or anyone who might be able to answer it. It seems to me this is the result of some miscommunications, if we want to call them that, some parties involved not having all, medical examiners not having all of the information that it should have been entitled to at the very outset before offering an opinion as to the cause. And it seems to me that this in some way attempts to get at deficiencies that have been raised by the example that we've just has given rise to all this in the first place.
Dr. Peterson, would you like to respond?
Sir, at the end of the day, the crux of this case was that it was analyzed by an assistant medical examiner who thought he had enough information to make an informed decision. Even when presented with sufficient information, I don't believe his decision would necessarily have been different. And in fact, when I discussed in a generic way this case at the meeting last week with a number of my national peers, while the consensus was that the manner of death would properly be homicide in this case, one of my mentors held out for accident. So even at that level, there was not a uniformity of opinion. So I'm not convinced that this was necessarily a lack of information, so much as it was a different set of eyes, mine in this case, looking at the case and making a different manner of death decision. And because I'm the boss, I won, is really what it came down to,
okay.
If you want to call that a win. So at the outset, we had good information. It wasn't so much that we were trying to operate in an information vacuum. What it was more than anything else was that my assistant medical examiner did not bring this case to my attention. That's what we've changed with our new internal policy. So it wasn't so much a matter of not knowing, it was a matter of knowing and then interpreting the facts differently.
Okay. I don't know. Did you have something?
Yeah.
Supervisor Schmidt?
Yeah, thank you. Again, I would go back to where we started, where what I mentioned. I mean, this is such a, let's be realistic, it's such a high-profile case, okay? And to lay this over and to wait, I mean, we're going to take 3 months anyway here. Report's not going to come back till January. You're going to meet with Corporation Counsel, as I repeat myself here, but I think it's cogent. And then if there's anything here in these 5 points that really isn't realistic or goes against or challenges your independence, well, I think that'll be covered then. And again, I would just say internally great, but externally, I mean, the community, and we all have to have confidence that this is going on. I mean, we're not familiar, we're not medical examiners, any of us. I mean, we appreciate your, you know, you've given us some information here, but I think it just needs to be vetted. I mean, this is too far along to wait and say, well, if we get a report, then we can look at it. We're going to look at it anyway, and it's going to come back to us in January, and we can have all the information and then see where it goes. I certainly don't see any harm in doing this, like I said before. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, before my initial question, I want to raise, in response to Supervisor Schmidt, to me, when I read the Be It Resolved clause, as though this is more than just a report coming back to us, this Be It Resolved clause, the final one, says that they shall return to the county board with a report recommending how such changes, including the policy changes mentioned above, could be codified into the Milwaukee County Code of Ordinances. So that sounds a little more definite than just getting a report back. But my further point is just the fact of what Dr. Peterson had just mentioned, that more or less this particular case that spurred this talk or that spurred this resolution came about because you overruled another person in your office, the assistant medical examiner?
Yes.
Doesn't by virtue this resolution wipe that possibility out? Because the way I'm reading it is saying that he would have to concur with the assistant medical examiner before an autopsy report could be issued. So if he actually disagreed with the cause of death and the two of them couldn't agree, would that prevent the autopsy report then from coming out? So in a way, what you would, you know, the whole reason how this became public in this case would be prevented from being from happening, because you wouldn't be able to issue a report changing his opinion. This says you have to concur with it.
It does.
So I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think when you rush into things, you could have unintended consequences. And I think, you know, lay over here, I understand, you know, the importance of wanting to, this is an important issue. And,
sure.
And I believe, you know, if mistakes are made, people need to own up to them, and corrections need to be done. But again, I don't want to see us, you know, do a quick reaction to something and then turn out to causing a bigger problem. And I just, the way I read this, I can see that you're going to be causing a problem. And I mean, am I right or am I wrong? The way I read this, it would have prevented you from overruling and changing this other report.
Yeah.
And that would, is what spurred this whole controversy.
Well, in fact, there are a couple issues beyond that. In item three there, it refers to witnesses signing on to the original review and then a peer review. We don't do two different reviews. I mean, we do an autopsy and a peer review. And then in item five, it mentions the concurrence of the medical examiner, which puts me in the painful situation of, since I do many cases myself, having to concur with myself, which is kind of a closed loop there. So for sure, there are some issues here as written, beyond just the fact that it's written at all.
Okay. Supervisor Lipscomb has joined us. We actually have before us the motion to lay over, but please.
I did hear that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I don't see a conflict here. It doesn't say that all parties have to concur. It says that the medical examiner has to concur. So, as he did in this case, he reached a new conclusion, and that's what was issued.
Okay.
So, in this case, concurrence of the medical examiner, his sign-off is his concurrence. But if it's not issued, if there's a conflict, he has the final authority. In such a case, he would sign off on what is the cause of death. There's no conflict.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Peterson, not that I'm looking for point counterpoint, in fairness, okay, I would like, if you have something to say on the point, you are welcome to say it, and it's not a one way street here. So please, if you have something,
Mr. Chairman, again, I'm just a doctor, I'm not an attorney, but reading item five here, I have to agree with Supervisor Sanfilippo. To me, this implies that the final cause of death includes my concurrence. If I don't concur, it doesn't really allow for how that impasse is resolved. It doesn't say that the medical examiner's judgment trumps everybody else's judgment. It doesn't speak to a situation where perhaps I'm not there, you know. And frankly, again, if we're looking at the concerns of my national organization, there are many offices with just one pathologist who then is in the unfortunate position of having nobody to concur with and no possibility for review. So, but speaking specifically to this document and to that point, yeah, I look at concurrence there and think, well, if I don't concur, what then? It doesn't tell me.
Okay. I'm going to, before Supervisor Johnson, did Supervisor Sanfilippo, did you have something on this point?
No, I will use it. No.
Okay.
Doctor.
Okay, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little mystified because point five says if the amendment by Supervisor Broderick would be approved. I'm reading as if the amendment were approved. The issuance of the report of the final cause of death shall include the concurrence of the medical examiner in the form of a sign-off at the conclusion of the peer review process. Does not the peer review process occur within your office, sir?
It does.
So you're the final arbiter, as it were.
I am, again, when I'm there, as Karen just pointed out to me a couple of years ago, there were only two pathologists in the office, and there wasn't a medical examiner.
Yes, sir. Okay, so it seems to me that nothing's going to go forward until you review the situation anyway, whether you're not there. Whether you're there or not there, because this is within your office. It has nothing to do with any outside entities as far as the review is concerned. As far as I can see, even if you're not there, nothing's going to happen with respect to the release of the final cause of death until you return. Isn't that, wouldn't that be the case, sir? Since this is internal, this is an internal process.
For sure, the peer review is an internal process.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I would hope at this time we wouldn't lay the item over, and I would hope that people would take the time to actually read the resolution in the be it resolved clause. And just to point it out here in, on line 36, it's to take into consideration the following suggested policy enhancements, and then it lists the five enhancements. They are suggested policy enhancements. They're not being forced upon the medical examiner. And then the final be it resolved clause, it is after they get together with the medical examiner and the corp counsel, they're supposed to report back to us with what could be codified into the Milwaukee County ordinances. So we're not changing anything today. We're directing corp counsel's office and the medical examiner to put into to sit down and come up with a reasonable solution to this problem, so we don't have this situation in front of us again. That's what I see what's before us today. We're not changing any county ordinances. We're not putting any demands other than we ask that the medical examiner and corp counsel meet and go over these suggested policy changes and report back to us on what could be implemented and what could not. So instead of spending, you know, time arguing about the nuances of some of these suggestions, why don't we leave it up to the professionals to go sit back in their office and report back, as Supervisor Schmidt has said, back in January, and then they can tell us what the enhancements they can work out and what they can't.
Very good. Anything?
No, sir.
Any other comments? We have a motion for layover at this stage, and so that will take precedence. And so, Madam Clerk, on the motion of layover, if you could please call the roll.
Supervisors Harris?
No.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Weishan?
No.
Broderick?
No.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
No.
One aye, six noes. The motion to layover fails.
Okay. I go back to my question on Robert's rules, and so we take the amendment first by Supervisor Broderick. Okay. Madam Clerk, could you read that amendment, please, just to refresh everybody's memory as to what we're voting on?
The first request was at line 49 to add the word report after the word autopsy, so it will read a final autopsy report will not be issued without the documentation cited above. The next recommended is at line 51, and it would read the issuance of the final report of the cause of death shall include the concurrence of the medical examiner in the form of a sign-off at the conclusion of the peer review process.
Very good. Thank you. No questions, Madam Clerk. On the amendment, please call the roll.
On the amendment, Supervisors Harris.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Seven ayes, zero noes.
Okay. And then as amended, and whose motion are we accepting on that?
Harris.
It would be Supervisor Harris then? Okay. So then Supervisor Harris makes the motion on the amended item, please.
Supervisors Harris.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Six ayes, one no. The item is approved as amended.
Thank you.